Welcome to 5 Essential Secrets for a Successful Practice. You know, when I started out, I had nobody telling me the ins and outs, telling me what worked and what didn't work and how I could build the practice that I really wanted. And so I decided that what I wanted to do today was to tell you the kinds of things that I wish I knew way back when. My agenda today is that I would like to share with you my own practice building story, and I'm going to refer back to it as we go, and to go over my top 5 critical distinctions for private practice professionals. And along the way, in those top 5 distinctions, I would like to share with you my top 5 secrets to a successful practice. I was thinking about you, and what could I pass along, the wisdom that I learned not only in my own practice, but helping the graduates of Relationship Coaching Institute to build successful practices, and then buildingyourideopractice.com, and the programs that we have, our Practice Building Intensive and our Full Practice Training. I wrote this book, How to Build Your Ideal Practice in 90 Days. I wrote that not because I started out to intend to be some practice building guru, but because, out of necessity, I needed to and wanted to help others have successful practices. It wasn't enough for me just to sell training. I wanted my folks to be successful in getting clients because that is how we're going to make a difference in the world. I really want to change the world. I want to lower the divorce rate. I want to help people be happy. I want to make the world a better place. And most people that enter the helping profession want to do that. So I'm sure you can relate. And so this is my effort to do that, that we are not going to be successful if we can't get clients. So I ended up writing these two books, How to Build Your Ideal Practice in 90 Days and the How to Get Clients Toolkit, which came out of my work in Relationship Coaching Institute and buildingyourideopractice.com of hundreds of helping professionals that are in private practice and want to do the work they love with the clients that they really want to work with. And so what have I learned from that? Well, a lot of it's going to be in those books. But there are 5 secrets. And so my request to you is to get a pad of paper out and a pencil and write down these secrets. So let me tell you a bit about my story. I started out in 1978, and I was in graduate school, and I got my first counseling job, and then I interned to get my license, and I was licensed in 1985, and I started private practice, and what I really wanted to do was relationship work. I wanted to work with couples, but everybody was telling me that, oh, you're going to private practice? Oh, you'll never make it. Oh, it's so competitive out there. You know, you'll never make a living. And, you know, I wanted to do it anyway. It's like I really didn't want to do anything else. It's like I had no choice. So I decided to go into private practice and make it work. But I went into private practice with a scarcity mindset about, oh, boy, I have to do what I can do to get by and survive. So I took on consulting jobs and contracts, and I signed up for every managed care PPO and HMO organization that I could possibly find. And about 5 years later, I was actually making a pretty good living doing all these consulting contracts and doing all this managed care work. But if you know about managed care, you get paid a percentage, you know, not your full fee. You get paid maybe half, if you're lucky, 3/4 of your fee. And you have an incredible amount of paperwork to do just to justify your sessions and get more. It's not a fun way to practice. And most people that I talk to, one of their top goals is to get out of managed care. I haven't talked to anybody that actually likes managed care. So here I was pretty successful, but I was working very, very hard, working very long hours, and, you know, I was making a good living at it, but, you know, I wanted to do more of what I loved. I was tired of just doing what I felt I needed to do to get by and survive. I wanted to work with couples, and so I had no idea where to start. How do I get more couples into my practice? I was already working with some. You know, how do I build a practice working with couples? Managed care, they don't pay for couples work. So here's what I did. I figured, okay, I have to market. So I found a marketing consultant. Well, that's kind of logical. I put myself in the hands of this guy because I didn't know any better. He said, well, let's do a direct mail campaign. You will reach thousands of couples very affordably for pennies per mailing. And if you just get a 1% or even a 0.5% return, you'll be doing very, very well. Well, that sounded good to me. And so to make a long story short, $7,000 later, paying for his services, paying to design the mailer, paying to mail the mailing out. $7,000 later, I got a few phone calls and zero clients. I mean zero. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, I had no idea what went wrong. I had really kind of an eye-opening experience of how does private practice work? How do you get clients? How do you get private pay clients? How do you do what it is you really want to do? My professional association provided no workshops, seminars, recommendations. They didn't even have any practice building articles in their professional journal. So it's like this practice building was either a well-kept secret or nobody else knew how to do it either. And I did take some seminars. I paid $800 for a weekend seminar, and I learned a lot about constructing a Yellow Page ad and a lot about tracking referrals and your calls that you get from ads, and some gems like lunch a month, you know, take a referral source out to lunch at least once a month. And, you know, okay, but it really wasn't that helpful to me. So this is where I'm coming from. This was, 1990 when I spent $7,000 on that direct mail campaign, and I determined to learn about private practice. How do you do it? How do you do it right? How do you get clients? How do you do what it is you really want to do? How will you be able to follow your bliss, do work that's fulfilling to you, be successful at it, and be able to let go of managed care, be able to let go of a job and the security of a paycheck? And so fast forwarding, I kind of burned out working with couples on the verge of divorce, and I discovered coaching, and I decided that applying coaching to relationships was the way to go. And I had a fun, creative time developing coaching approaches for relationships, developed a Relationship Coaching Institute, and then decided that not only did I want to train my professionals in relationships, I wanted to help them have successful practices. And so here I sit today. I absolutely did not start out intending to be the head of two businesses in which I have these hundreds of helping professionals that I'm in relationship with, that I'm supporting, that we have fun playing together and supporting each other. Had no idea, did not start out to do this, but I have to tell you, I have my dream job. I mean, this is wonderful. I'm having such a good time. And every day I wake up and my total intention is, how can I be of service to you? How can I help you be successful? So, in that vein, I'd like to pass on some critical information that I want you to know so that you can be successful. So let me talk about these five critical distinctions, and along the way I will share with you the five secrets that I want to impart, and please write them down. So the first critical distinction is your practice versus your business. Now, your practice is helping clients. This is a service that you provide. This is what you were trained for. This is what your passion is. This is what you really do. And your business is all the other stuff. That's, you know, marketing and paperwork and paying bills and networking. And most private practice professionals, they don't really want to do that stuff. They want to work with their clients. They'd rather really not do the other stuff. Now, what happens is because we don't want to really do the other stuff, we have a certain resistance to it. And what you resist persists. So if you don't really want to be doing it, it's not going to go away. And it's going to create an obstacle for you. It's going to get in the way of the law of attraction. The law of attraction can work for you or against you. The law of attraction works for you when you are in alignment with who you are and how you want to show up in the world. And the law of attraction works against you if you are trying to avoid something, or you're denying who you are, or you are not following your path of your values and your goals. So here we are. Most private practice professionals resist this stuff, don't want to deal with it, and then they wonder why they're not having a successful practice. So what we need to be doing is to take care of business. We need to figure out how to do this stuff in a way that aligns with our values, just, you know, get it done, outsource it, find ways to minimize it so that it gets done anyway. Marketing, business development, all this stuff is very, very important if you have a business. You actually are in an entrepreneurial enterprise. Now, very few private practice professionals will think of themselves as entrepreneurs. But if you think about it, an entrepreneur is somebody who's like a pioneer. They are creating a business out of thin air. That particular business was not even there before, and they are doing it uniquely their way. Well, that really fits us. You might call yourself, a social worker, but you are a social worker like no other social worker. You do it your way, and the business that you create is going to be unique to you. So when we are private practice professionals, we are truly entrepreneurs. And we have to take care of business, because entrepreneurs fail if they just focus on the things they want to do and they don't take care of the rest of the stuff. So here's secret number one. Please write this down. And write it down in I language. I'm going to deliver it in you language. Secret number one is your business will take care of you only if you take care of it. So in I language, that would translate to my business will take care of me only if I take care of it. Please write this down. Tack it on your wall. Look at it every day. this is very, very, very important. This is an area that most of us resist, and we get into trouble because we resist it. So think about it. Your business will take care of you only if you take care of it. I want my business to take care of me. I want to retire and have security in my retirement someday. Well, truthfully, I'm probably not going to retire. I'll probably always want to work, but I want my business to take care of me and my family and put my kids through college and to have a happy, fulfilling life. And that's how I want my business to take care of me. It's only going to do that if I take care of it. So that's secret number one. Now, distinction number two is marketing versus sales. And I really wish somebody would have told me this a long time ago, because I thought that if I marketed, if I sent thousands of direct mailers to couples in my area, that they'd be flooding to my practice. I really honestly thought that. And what I've learned since is that, well, marketing is communicating what you do. And marketing creates prospects, people that become interested and attracted to you and your practice when you market. However, marketing does not automatically create clients. That's a sales process where you convert prospects to clients. So what I learned the hard way is that you can market till the cows come home and not get any clients. I've experienced that myself, spending $7,000 to learn that so I can pass it on to you. And I've seen it over and over again with the participants of my Practice Building Intensive, which is a program for designing and building your ideal practice. And my folks get excited and in motion, and they're working on their websites, and they are giving presentations, and they're doing everything right. And that by itself doesn't get them clients, and then they get discouraged. And so that's why I developed my full practice training, and I wrote the How to Get Clients Toolkit, because it's a whole other set of skills and strategies to convert prospects to clients. So on the one side, you have marketing, communicating what you do, which will create prospects. On the other side, you need to convert those prospects to clients. I wish somebody would have told me this before I spent that $7,000. I wish I had somebody giving me advice and saying, a direct mail campaign to get couples into your practice? Are you crazy? Couples don't choose a therapist based on getting a mailer. They choose them in the yellow pages when they are in trouble, or they get referrals from their physician. So are you insane? Don't do that. You know, I wish somebody would have told me that. I had nobody at the time. So here's secret number two. Please write this down. Marketing by itself will not fill your practice. So in I language, that would be, marketing by itself will not fill my practice. So don't get caught in the trap of, okay, I'm going to construct this great website. I'm going to give all these presentations. I'm going to network like crazy. I'm going to pay somebody to get on the phone and follow up for me. Don't imagine that all these great marketing activities, some of which are fun. Writing articles and books can be fun. Giving presentations can be fun. Networking can be fun. I encourage you to market. You need to market, and preferably market in ways that you want to market. But just realize that marketing by itself will not fill your practice. You need to pay attention to the other steps. Distinction number three, selling versus enrollment. Now, typically we think of selling as selling a tangible product, as trying to influence somebody to buy a particular thing. And oftentimes when we try to enroll clients, we are trying to convert prospects to clients. We think it's selling. We feel like we're selling. It doesn't feel good. It feels kind of icky, and we don't want to do it, and we resist it. And hence, when we do it, we tend not to do a very good job at it because we don't really want to be doing it, and we don't really feel good about it. But we're not really selling here, because selling is typically just exchanging a product for dollars, and it's typically the end of a relationship. And enrollment is about inviting somebody to work with you. It is the beginning of a relationship. And it is about the relationship, because when you are a helping professional, the relationship is what's most important in working with your client. Your client has to know you, like you, and trust you. They typically feel quite vulnerable in working with you. This is an intimate personal service. So it's about the relationship. It's about you working with them one-on-one. It's about your relationship with them. It's an enrollment process that involves trust and credibility, and it needs to be handled very respectfully and very gently and very authentically. It's not about selling at all. Most helping professionals love to be authentic. they love relationship and caring and working with their clients. So if you can just tweak your brain a little bit to think of converting your prospects to clients as an enrollment process, as inviting people into a relationship with you, and stop thinking of it as selling or pushing so that you feel good about it and you do it in a way that you feel good about. Here's secret number three. Please write this down, and this is related. Secret number three is be the chooser. Good clients are chosen by you. In I language, that would be good clients are chosen by me. And when you are enrolling, it is very powerful and very, very attractive if you want to work with somebody, if you like them, if you truly connect with them. This is how to be irresistible to your prospective clients, by the way. If you choose them, you know what? I really want to work with you. That is irresistible. And so if you are the chooser, you're not coming from the mindset of, oh my God, I got to make a living. I got to get everybody in the door I can. I got to make a living any way I can, which is the mindset I had when I started out and the mindset I see a lot of folks come from. And if you're the chooser and you come from the place of, I value my time, I have a mission that I want to accomplish in the world, and I want to work with people that are aligned with that mission, that can benefit from what I do and want what I do, you can have your ideal practice. You will only have your ideal practice if you're working with the folks that you want to work with. And so you need to be the chooser. If you have a choice, and you do have a choice, by the way, if you have a choice, you might as well do what you want to do with who you want to do it with. You do have a choice, so be the chooser. That is secret number three, that successful people are discriminating. They don't sell out. They don't just do anything for anybody. They are very, very particular in what they do and who they do it with. So be the chooser. Here's distinction number four, your services versus your real product. Now, your services are what you do. And if you're a massage therapist, you are very hands-on. If you are a counselor, then you talk. If you are a hypnotherapist, then you are hypnotizing. And if you're a chiropractor, then you're cracking backs. And so your services are what you do, and this is what you are trained for, and this is what people come to you for. They need and want your services and benefit from your services. However, what I've discovered is that since our service is typically very personal and intimate, and our clients typically feel quite vulnerable in working with us, and since they need to know us and like us and trust us, then they really need to connect with us. They need to know us, like us, trust us, and it's about the relationship, as I mentioned earlier. So, in my mind, the real product here is you. They are attracted to you. They have to like you in order to want to work with you. They have to trust you. And a lot of the benefit of our services, whether it's a massage therapist, a chiropractor, a counselor, coach, therapist, social worker, whatever discipline you are, the benefit of your services can only be delivered if the client will accept your support, if they will allow themselves to be helped by you. Your clients won't benefit unless they give you permission to do so. They won't do so unless they like you and trust you. Therefore, you are the real product. They are not really hiring you because they think you are the absolute best chiropractor in the whole wide world. They are hiring you because they like and trust you. So this is very important, and private practice professionals tend to be very passionate about what they do, and they think about it. They do it all the time. They want to do it more, and they really believe in it. You know, we are typically evangelists for what we do. All of us typically are quite passionate, and that's why I love working with you guys, because, you know, this is the best way of being in the world, you know, to have the values of making a difference and helping people, to be passionate about something, to believe in something, to practice something and be good at it and be able to make a difference with others. This is the best. But it's not really about waving the magic wand. It's not really about what you say or how you listen or all the great advice you might give. It's really about you. And so here's secret number four. The real product is you. In I language, that would be the real product is me. And circle me, underline me, bracket me, box me. The real product is me, you. And what that does is it empowers you. What it means is you need to show up. You need to show yourself. You need to make a connection. And typically, as helping professionals, we're very good at this, making a connection, being authentic, caring, showing caring. So all you have to do is be more of you and realize it's more important to show up as you than it is to talk about your services. And since you're such a caring person, you're going to be very interested in who this person is and what their needs and goals are. So you'll be connecting with them very, very well. You don't have to prove that your services are the best in the world and that they'll work, because that will be self-evident. The person will, your prospect will believe it if they know you, like you, and trust you. So, the last distinction I have for you today is bluebirds versus boulders. And bluebirds are the prospects that are so attracted to you, they enroll themselves. They just fly through the window and they love you and don't worry about the cost and they just hire you and they can't wait to get started. And we love bluebirds. And typically, you will get bluebirds. In your marketing, you will find people that are attracted to you that strongly. And boulders are prospects that they're interested and attracted. They truly, truly are. They have lots of questions. They have some reservations. They come up with stuff like, well, gee, I'd really like to, but I'm not sure I can afford it right now, or, well, let me think about it, or I'll get back to you. Typically, we don't know how to respond to them. We love bluebirds. We want people to just hire us. We want to work with them and be of service. And if somebody isn't hiring us right away, and they say something like, well, gee, I'd like to, I'm not sure I can afford it right now, most private practice professionals will interpret that as, well, they're not interested. And they'll say, okay, and, they'll part ways. And they don't want to assert influence. They don't want to be pushy. They want to be respectful. But the key here is that this is truly somebody that is interested and attracted. So we need to care as much about them as we do for the people that just hire us right away. I'm kind of an evangelist. I want to save their soul. I want to help them with their goals and their needs that they came to me for. And if we've gotten this far engaging in a conversation about their situation and my services, I know they really want this. So all the stuff they say, all the reservations and, well, gee, I'm not sure I can afford it or let me think about it, it's not really that they're not interested. It's that they are interested and attracted, but they need my support to make the decision to hire me. So what can I do to help them make that decision? And that's the question I'd like you to ask yourself. That this is enrollment. It's important to learn enrollment skills. And there are some sales skills involved here, but it's not really about selling. It's about enrollment. So please don't just let the boulders go. Follow up with them. Support them to make the decision to hire you. Realize they are interested and attracted. And if they don't make the decision to hire you, then they are the ones that lose out, because chances are they will repeat their patterns. Behavior follows patterns. Nothing's random. Nothing ever happens just once. If they have gone so far as to seek you out and talk with you about your services, chances are they really want it and need it. And if they don't make the decision to hire you and don't follow through, then they are repeating a pattern. And if we care about them, then we want to help them make the decision so they get the benefit of our services so they don't repeat the pattern. So please, care about your boulders enough to follow through with them and find ways to stay in relationship with them and enroll them, because in my mind, the 80-20 rule will apply here. About 20% of your prospects will be bluebirds, and they will fly through the window and be happy to hire you, and 80% will be boulders, that they will need your support. They'll need to go through a process of building a relationship with you to make the decision to hire you. So if we're clear about that and we realize that 80% of our business will be like that, then you will learn the skills and apply them to enroll boulders. And that's what we do in our Get Clients Full Practice training, by the way, and in the How to Get Clients Toolkit. So secret number 5 is no one is successful alone. In I language, you can write it this way. I will not be successful alone. Let me tell you why this is secret number 5. Remember my story? This is a true story. I'm not making it up. I spent $7,000 in 1990 on a direct mail campaign trying to get clients into my practice and got zero because I was doing it alone. our clients, our prospects, you know, the boulders especially, the ones that seek us out, but, you know, they're not sure, and, you know, they want to, but they're not making the decision. They are alone, but they don't want to be alone. No one is successful alone. So what this means for having a successful practice is, if you want a successful practice, then get the support you need. If I had a mentor, if I allowed myself to be supported, if I worked hard enough to find support when I was starting out, then I wouldn't have spent that $7,000. I would have not burned out on working with couples on the verge of divorce. I would have not burned out and worked probably 5 more years than I should have working in managed care. So no one is successful alone. Get the support that you need. And we believe this for our clients. We believe just about everybody in the world can benefit from our services, and why are they not hiring us? And no one's successful alone, people. You know, come and hire me. Let me help you. Well, guess what? I'm telling you the same thing. So no one is successful alone. Don't try to build a practice all by yourself, because chances are you're going to make the same kind of mistake that I made back then. So get the support you need. I have set out what I wanted to do today, which was to impart to you my best wisdom, the secrets that I've learned along the way, the essential secrets to a successful practice. I hope you wrote them down. Feel free to pass them along. And thanks for joining us today.